Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Welcome and thank you for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And by gosh, I mean it, you guys. We're making finance radio fun again, right? What would that be? Make FR MIFRA. Make finance radio great. Or no, MIFRGA. I digress. Anyway, it wouldn't go, it's obviously wouldn't fit on a hat quite as well, right? As MAGA or Restoring Hope or any of these catchphrases. I mean, it's not going to be the best for a hat. But anyway, got a great show planned for you today. I was telling the people on KTTH to join us for that first 3-minute warm-up. And I don't want to make light of it because it's not a good thing. But the whole interview fiasco keeps going on. So we had two interviews booked for today. Because we had two interviews booked, we also realized that we didn't have any for next week. So Tobias Carlisle and I bumped our interview to next week so we could fill in that gap. And I didn't want to release two interviews at the same time and not have one next week. So I had that interview planned with one of my mentors, a guy that's, I multiple-time author, brilliant guy, successful businessman in his own right, and does a lot of training and work with top investors and top finance industries and really wanted to get into the intellectual side, right? The mind side of trading, the behavioral side, how to control emotions, where the pitfalls are, all that kind of stuff. And he's going to be invaluable for doing that. Anyway, we had him booked for today. He had a death in the family. So we are back on for having two interviews for next week. So certainly don't want to make light of my dear friend's death in the family. But it just seems like the interview gods are conspiring against us. But we're getting her back on track. So we're doing two. And like I said, we're going to release two next week just because I've got them both booked and you guys know the drill. I can't, we can't risk this, right? We got to get this in. But anyway, like I said in the previous weeks, it couldn't have happened at a better time because there is so much to discuss. I've got a stack here that I'm hoping to get through. We may have to do another after hour session because I think there's a lot of really important things going on. And I'm not just saying that to keep you tuned in, but we continue to watch this tug of war between tech and between the value side of things and the commodity side of things. Who's going to win? A week ago, I would have told you it was kind of a draw. It kind of looks like the value commodity side of it's making another run. We still don't have, it's not definitive. That's not going to stop me from telling you what I think is going to happen. Right, but we're still in this range. You've got new all-time highs, but again, we're still not accelerating off of them. It's not convincing, and there's still a lot of questionable things going on against the surface. This does not act like a market that's ready to blow out. Right. The other thing that you're going to hear about is something that's been really making the rounds this week is talk of a top. Here's what I will say about that. I'm probably more sure today that this isn't a quote-unquote top than at any time that I've thought it may have been over the last few years just because everybody thinks it's a top, right? That's the natural narrative, and very rarely, right, very rarely is that the case. So when everybody's talking about a top. Now, the interesting thing is that a lot of them are talking about tops based on index moves, right? And this is kind of where it intersects with what we've been paying attention to and what we've been looking at. They're looking at technical levels. Their talk of it being a top really corresponds well with what we've been saying, which is, yes, technically speaking, you've broken out to new all times on these indexes, but they're not behaving as you would expect them to if this was another launch point, if this was a true breakout. And personally, I think that they're looking in the wrong place. I continue to think that the odds-on favorite for this market is that you see a reacceleration in the natural resource trade and the value side trade, because that's where the majority of the earnings growth is going to come this year, just by default. And I think it's likely that it could kind of be a wash as far as the NASDAQ goes. It could get hit a little bit. Maybe it just kind of resumes that sideways grind that it had earlier in the year. But we can continue to kind of think that that's – that this talk of top is corresponding with what we're seeing. And why is that so important? I don't think it's important to get hung up in, are we going to make new all-time highs? And where's the S&P going to be in a month and a half from now? And all, that's not what I'm saying. The reason we're saying that it's interesting is it's the two things happening at once. The acceleration on the value side of things that have been laggards now for 13 years, right? The reacceleration of the commodity trades, which have been laggards for 13 years. And I just don't think you're going to see a reacceleration on that side. This should happen based on valuations and what's happening on a macroeconomic level. Those things should take off. I just don't think you're going to see both happen at the same time. I don't think you're going to be able to see, you know, those things reaccelerating and pushing higher like we think they're going to, just based off supply and demand and then just valuations. And I don't think you're going to see the tech stuff continue to run and act all crazy at the same time. I just don't see that happening. And part of it is, I think, is you just have everybody in on the tech, right? That boat is full. I just don't see that breadth of new buyers coming in. Now, having said that, NASDAQ will probably be up 5% next week, right? So it doesn't really necessarily guarantee anything. Now, for another little bit of madness this week, I don't know how many of you have kept up on the Robinhood IPO, the trading app, you know, free trades. The guys that I think are just, Robinhood isn't bad, right? It provides a valuable service. I just can't stand when people are disingenuous, right? Just say what you are. And I think that's more true today. I think a lot of the people using Robinhood are indifferent or completely ignorant about how Robinhood makes their money. And they make their money by selling their trade information of all their quote-unquote customers to hedge funds so they can front-run them. Now, I just hate how shady they've been. You know, we care about our customers. Of course you do, but your customers aren't the people using the app, man. Customers are the people that pay you. So it's just interesting to me that you've got this quote-unquote, you know, democratization, if you will, of trading via apps like Robinhood. And really, they're a profit generation tool for the big hedge funds. And now their stock, now, so they IPO and they got hit the first day out, right, which wasn't to be expected, and then they started ripping, right, because it's a new IPO. And was it yesterday or the day before? The stock was up like 44, 45%, 46% in a single day, right? Because they're doing the Reddit thing to it again. And when you looked at that move that day, I believe the stock was up something like, what was it? You were at two, I think the market cap increased that day by $15 billion? $20 billion? Was it $20 billion? Anyway, it was somewhere between 15 to. So when you looked at the percentage move of the stock, the whole company's value that day increased somewhere like between $15 to $20 billion. And that happens to be in a single day. In a single day, their stock was up, you know, 10x their annual revenue, or 8 times their annual revenue. Right? So anybody that thinks these moves are rational or they make sense, they don't. And truthfully, I've never seen anything like it. It's pretty amazing, especially a company that's that large. You know, we're talking about a $40, $50 billion company here. right? So this isn't a company that was at a $200 million market cap and had some breakthrough new product that all of a sudden their market cap, you know, jumped by $2 billion. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just speculative trading, right? This thing just IPO'd. What was it, 35, 30, 38 with their IPO? No, it wasn't that much. But anyway, it just more madness. More madness that tells you this market is not getting any more sane. We talked about the try and fail. The interesting play, and this is what I want to tell people about, again, and this is part of our risk management process, right? This is one of the reasons that we like value. The reason everybody has packed into all these tech plays is because they've paid, right? The reason every... And we've talked about this before many times, but if you listen to, I'm a believer in Tesla. No, you're a believer in the price of the stock going up. And people come back, no, I really do. And I'm like, okay, but the reason that you feel so ardent, right? The reason you're so passionate about it, the reason you went all in is not because you believe the mission. It's because the stock went up 7X in the last 16 months, right? Or whatever it was. And the reason that we think things have to tilt really is look at coal. Right, I told you guys about Peabody Energy, BTU, right? You want the big wins, right? These people want to make big money fast. That's kind of the whole Reddit thing. Well, we bought Peabody Energy, a coal company. Was that 2.5 months ago? At 379, I want to say, is what price it is. Today, the thing's hit 1240. And it's still ridiculously cheap. And the price of thermal coal continues to climb because China's using more of it. Does this sound familiar? We've been telling you this, right? And this is why I think that there is such an opportunity in values that everybody's chasing the stuff that's already 7-8x'd. Now, you're not going to be as popular at a cocktail party if you tell them you just made 5x on coal, because trust me, I've gotten angry phone calls about it. But that to me is part of risk management, you know, meaning we want to go buy the really cheap things. We want to buy the things that we believe have economic wins at their back, but are also ridiculously discounted, that are really stupid cheap. And not just because I think that's smart and that's the better, you know, the less risky play. I just think that's where the money is. So we continue to think that you got to pay attention. Now, the other thing is pull up BTU. I'm not giving you a recommendation to buy it. You got to have an iron gut to own this thing. I mean, the volatility has been insane, right? Other things that I think, well, you know what? I digress. We'll get into that the next segment. So we're going to discuss, hold on a second. I'm going to make sure I'm not getting out of order here. Okay, in our third segment. So next segment, we're going to discuss the jobs number and the eviction moratorium that have been really popular, right? Been hot topics lately. And I want to discuss, we said on this show there will be no moratorium. The moratorium on evictions will not expire. I want to explain why we knew that and why we were so confident that they would put something else in place. Because that really underlies our entire approach with markets right now. And so I think that is worth spending the time on that. And then we will get into another topic about another lockdown. We're hearing talks about that. A, what do we think the chances are that something like that happens? But B, most importantly, if it does, what does that mean for stock prices? Where do you want to go? And I don't think it will play out the same way as it did last time during the lockdown. And we'll explain why. So anyway, guys, as always, if you want active management, if you want people that are finding things like Peabody Energy, these low-risk plays, if you want somebody that, if you're sitting there looking at the market and the move like things on Robinhood and sitting there going, this is insane and this doesn't make any sense, and then you realize you're just sitting in mutual funds and ETFs that track the market and you realize that your fate is tied to the direction of markets and you think markets are insane and yet you're not altering your approach, right? Doesn't make any sense. Make a rational decision. We can drastically lower your risk and lower your cost and give you bigger upside. We can have a portfolio that's down 5 to 6% last March when the whole world was coming apart and yet still beat the market by 5% last year and is beating the market by 8% last year. That is possible. That is what we're doing with less risk, less cost. If that interests you, which it should, you don't have to become a client, guys. Just call in. Just call in and ask for the Common Sense booklet or call in to have a risk-free, or a know-your-risk portfolio review with me or one of our advisors. There's no arm twisting. We just show you the facts. If you're not impressed, then don't do it. But there's a better way. There's also a way that when the world's on fire, like it was last March, you check your portfolio, you're only down 4 or 5, no big deal. It's a better way to live. It's a better way to invest. Call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Follow me on Twitter at KYRradio. You guys know the drill. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back to get in the eviction moratorium, how we knew that it wouldn't expire, and what that means to the markets, because I think it's very important and we can't overlook this. Anyway, stick with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, so let's get right into this. And first, guys, just so you know, just so we're really clear on this, and I want to be very clear on this, whenever I'm talking about this stuff or talking about something that we get right, I'm not bragging, okay? And I'll be the first to tell you we get things wrong. For those of you listening to the show, you know that we got some big things wrong last year. Now, again, the results for our clients still ended up really good, right? But that has everything to do with the risk management process, and that kind of underlines my point. And I digress a little bit, but that's one of the reasons that we love and believe our risk management process. Even though we got some big things wrong last year, we still had a really good year, both at protecting capital during the drawdown and then what our clients made at the end of the day, right? That's risk management. It's being good and being fine and accomplishing your goals no matter what happens. And that's the kind of certainty you should have in a retirement portfolio. I get fired up about this stuff just because everybody, and I'm not saying we're smarter. I'm saying on the face of it, everybody's doing this wrong. We're building retirement portfolios based on stock and bond performance averages over the last 100 years. There is nothing average about the environment we're in. Furthermore, the retirement portfolio doesn't last 20 years or 100 years. It lasts about 19 to 20 on average. We need to be designing portfolios that work regardless of what happens. Okay, now getting into the moratorium, and like I said, what did we get wrong last year? Just to be clear, and to be transparent, I really didn't think markets would go on to set all new time highs. Looking back on it, it makes sense. It's crazy, but it makes sense mechanically why there was just so much cash flooding the markets. But we thought that it was a bear market rally, and markets would probably turn negative again. They didn't. Our clients still beat the S&P last year. So, again, that's that risk management approach. But why did we know? Why did we know? Why did I feel so confident that there would be no moratorium on evictions? That's been a really hot topic among a lot of the bears that think the market's about ready to collapse. And I agree with a lot of their reasons. But this is a perfect illustration of why I think they're wrong. They were saying, okay, when the eviction moratorium goes off, all these evictions are going to hit and it's going to cause trouble and housing's going to collapse and blah, 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 blah. And we said, they're not going to do it. They're going to extend it. No, they can't. You know, no. Guys, this is really simple. Okay, you have to quit looking at the world through the lens of traditional accounting and responsible thinking and intelligent financial decisions, because for 15 years, they have done the same thing. And there is no indication that they're going to stop. In fact, all indications say more. They're just going to keep doing more of it. Why on earth do we think that all of a sudden they're going to say, oh, nope, let the evictions go. Reality needs to win out today, right? Reality hasn't won out for, the better part of two decades. And you could even make an argument longer than that. They are going to pretend and extend at every turn. Policy decisions will be guided around preventing people from realizing consequences. And in some ways, they probably should, right? Because this is a government-created catastrophe. And I'm just looking at investors going, why do you think that all of a sudden these central bankers and these government actors and these politically, these democratically elected people, why do you think all of a sudden they're going to let reality play out and you're going to watch a bunch of people get evicted? You're not going to do it. They're just going to extend and pretend. Well, then the landlords are starting getting bankrupt. Okay, then they'll put together a special purpose vehicle and allow those landlords to apply for assistance. I'm just telling you guys, that's the age we are living in. We're not going back to reality anytime soon. You're not going to, I think we have crossed the Rubicon in the sense that I don't think that any of us in our lifetimes are going to see a market where the Fed is not directly involved or not purchasing assets or not manipulating interest. You're just not going to see it. They've pushed things up too high. And that's why you need a risk management strategy that protects you from the downside, but also gives you ample upside to protect you from the inflation that's going to be inevitable through this. But they're not going to let reality win out, guys. And if you want to know how to profit from that and protect yourself from that, call us. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. Story Monson, a great way to learn about long-term care and have your questions answered is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for their free long-term care planning live webinar this Wednesday at 3 p.m. You'll learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you, like they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. I love how much time they spent with us. And it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So get the great peace of mind long-term care coverage gave my family and me. Sign up now for the free live webinar this Wednesday at 3 p.m. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. So getting into our next segment, guys, as you've seen, we got the Delta variant coming up, right? Everybody's talking about the new Delta COVID variant. A lot of interesting news coming out about the vaccine. Again, I don't want to get lost in the morass of talking about COVID and COVID policies and all that kind of stuff. I think people that have been listening to the show for a long time, last January we came out after looking at all the early February, looking at all the data we get our hands on, knowing that we were an epidemiologist, and the way that we looked at COVID from the very beginning was that, look, this isn't the Black Plague. You're not going to see bodies stacking up in the streets. But the risk of this is the overrunning of the hospital system, right? The medical system. And that's exactly how it played out. And once again, am I saying that bragging, saying that we knew better? No, we knew that by just reading the data. Okay, blocking out all the craziness and all the rhetoric and hyperbole, just reading the data, it seemed pretty clear. I think that from what we're seeing, guys, I think that the Delta variant seems a little more, you know, seems more contagious. I think people need to be careful, but same kind of thing. Again, not the Black Plague, but what you're seeing is the reaction. Right to it, which I get. It seems like the number of people I see wearing masks in stores is increasing by the day. You hear talks of potential lockdowns. So will we have another lockdown? You know, I want to say right out of the gate, I don't have obviously any insight into this. I don't have the ear of senators that make these decisions. You know, I don't know that. I just think it's highly unlikely. And the reason I think it's highly unlikely is because the damage done to the economy has already been extensive. You have a growing number of people who have been vaccinated every single day. That number is growing every day. And it's a pretty significant chunk of the population. And I just think it's almost socially unacceptable. I don't think people are going to take it. So you might have another lockdown. I think if you did, it'd get really ugly. And I kind of think that's why you won't have one. Now, I could see more restrictions going up. You know, I could see more national mask mandates, possibly the closing or the curtailing of borders. I just don't think you can shut down again. I mean, the death knell blow that would be for small business that, you know, that so many have already been obliterated. I just can't see it. I just can't see it. And truthfully, they probably shouldn't have locked down the way that they did, or they should have locked down. You know, there's many different ways they could do it, which is sort of why I don't think you'll see them do the same thing they did again. But if they do, right, it's a possibility. We don't know. If they do, what does that mean for markets? And this is kind of, again, I'm not talking my book. I'm really not. I just want to illustrate what we're talking about, how we think investors are looking in the wrong place. There's a small trucking company that we own, publicly traded, based out of Texas. And I want to tell you what it is because no recommendations. Some of you guys, especially on Twitter, some of you guys are merciless. Like saying, okay, so you know, I'll put something out there and like, okay, so that's, we can take that as a recommendation to buy the stock. And they're needling me, right? Because they know that'll get me in trouble. So I think it's funny, but I'm like, man, you guys are tough. A couple of you, you know who you are too. Anyway, but here's why I think that this is interesting. Since the news of this new Delta variant came out, and you know, the possibility of another lockdown, you know, seemed at least tangible. We've watched the price of this trucker. We owned a little bit of him, but we've been buying a lot more. We watched the price of it pull back from like $11.50 to like $8.50. Okay, now here's what's fascinating about this, and this is why I think the opportunity. First of all, the thing is super clean. Great company. There's a lot of stuff out there like this, guys. Clean balance sheet, well run, putting up great numbers already this year, held in there pretty good last year. But honestly, if you were to have another lockdown, I think that their business would improve, right? Because you have a lockdown, even more things have to get shipped via trucking. right? Even less things are being picked up in person. Think about it. It might be not a huge difference, but explain to me how a lockdown makes an incredibly cheap trucker worth 30% less. It doesn't. And this is kind of the thing that we were talking about. And this is the thing that we knew would happen because these are the things that always happens. Opportunities in the broader market get ignored because of muscle memory. Every time there's news of an economic slowdown of any kind, you sold value and you bought tech. And I just think the game has changed. And part of it's because of the prices. Again, it's the valuation spread. Where you're sitting there looking at the price of this trucker and you're like, okay, the thing is already priced as if we're in another lockdown. The thing is already priced as if their business is about ready to go through the ringer. It already has. Pretty much regardless of whatever happens, their business is going to improve. Now, increased fuel pressures might pressure their margins a little bit. But when you look at how cheap these things are, again, it has even that built into it. There's a company that we own. Camping World. Well, and again, this isn't a thing to buy Camping World. I don't know if everybody saw the quarter that Camping World just had and the nice pop in the stock of the price or price of the stock. And you guys know we've been talking about Camping World for a long time. They also increased guidance. Go look at how cheap that stock is. You look at the net profit, the net income that Camping World put up. Now, I'm not saying that every single quarter they're going to have that same net income. But if you annualize that, which I think is entirely possible, if you annualize that, the price you're paying for Camping World, the amount of net income they're making per year equals about 32% of their current market capitalization. Meaning if you were to go buy the company, right, as opposed to buying the stock, the price you'd pay for the company, just the net income, the profit thrown off on that company, you'd get paid back your full investment within about 2.5 to 3 years, assuming no growth. Right, assuming they don't continue to grow. I think they're going to. I think this whole RV thing, for the things that we've discussed on the show, I think it's a secular trend. Again, I'm not advising you go buy Camping World stock. And I want to make that very clear. And I'm going to especially tell you, I advise you not to buy stocks that we have bought or that we do own. Because a lot of time, guys do that to push more volume into the stock so they can sell out. Right, so they can sell into that buying. So always, when everybody was talking about their stocks and then they recommend you buy them, just always take that with a grain of salt. Of course, they want you to buy them. They already own them. They want you to push the price up. But that's a perfect example of how cheap these opportunities are out there. And again, you know, Camping World's another one that fits into that spectrum. If you got another lockdown, I think their business would go nuts. I think it'd reach a whole nother level of insanity. Why? Because people don't want to be locked down. Right? And they're like, hey, the way I'll beat the lockdown, that's what they did last year. Go buy RVs. The interesting thing that's happening on that deal is that millennials are making an increased, pretty much seemingly by the quarter, an increased percentage of their total sales. It is rapidly increasing to millennials. Well, work at home. Right? A lot of millennials can't afford homes. Now they can work from home. What does that mean? Let's throw a camper on the back of the truck. Let's go buy a reasonably priced RV. It's way cheaper and way more economical than buying a house right now. And we can travel around. Shoot, I can do my programming from Yellowstone as long as I got an internet feed. And so I look at these kinds of businesses. I think there's businesses out there, and I just, you know, outlined a couple of them there that now, if you get another lockdown, would I expect the price of that trucking company and Camping World to get hit? Yeah. Why? Because that's what usually happens, right? And it's that muscle memory thing. But that's the thing I love about it is if that were to take place, we're just going to buy more. And they don't all fit that realm, right? If you have another lockdown, there's a lot of stocks and a lot of businesses that it will very, very negatively impact. There are some, though, that I think win either way. And that's the stuff that really is exciting us. That's the stuff that I find really interesting, especially if those things are paying dividends, right? I mean, you look at Camping World, you're getting paid 2.5% a year, you know, or double what you'd make owning the 10-year U.S. government bond. And you got a company that's growing rapidly, paying down, right? There's all these really attractive things, and they're not the popular stuff you're going to hear about. But for these reasons, and then you go and, you know, you go look at the tech stocks, you know, the vast majority of these popular stocks are still sporting these insane multiples from last year. Right. So you could also make the argument that the price of those things already has priced in another lockdown. And I just think it's very rare that you get these opportunities and these pivot points to sell things that are so exorbitantly and historically expensive and pivot into these things that they're essentially giving away. I mean, think about that. Buying a company who the price you're paying for the company, and the company is growing and it's well managed and it's got a clean balance sheet, and the balance sheet is getting cleaner all the time and margins have improved and et cetera, right? All checks, all green lights, all boxes checked. And you're buying that company at a valuation where net income equals 30% of the market capitalization of the company. That's insane. And the other reason why I like that is that's a stock that's so cheap that if everything doesn't go perfectly, it really doesn't matter, right? Because you're buying it so cheap. Buffett talks about this all the time. You know, the number one thing that determines the success of an investment is the price you paid. And that's where you see this massive disconnect between what we know of investing and human behavior. Because what do they all want? What does the Reddit crowd want? What does the average retail investor want? They want to buy the thing that's already gone up a lot. They want to pay the record price because they think it's going to get more recordish. There's another created word, right? More recordish. Where I'm sitting there going, wait a second, you guys are passing up this thing right now that's growing, that's well managed, everything looks good to it, it's going to be an essential part of the economy, and it's throwing off 30% net income to 30% of market capitalization and net income per year and paying me a dividend? Okay. I'll make that trade all day long. Now, won't make me the most popular guy, right? Going out there and buy these, you know, dollar and a dream shots like Kathy Wood, that's a better story. But I just think the opportunity is so skewed. And again, I if you get another lockdown, I'm not saying these things are going to breeze through it. I think the stocks could probably get hammered. I don't really care though, because one of the things that you want to look for in investor guys is when the underlying fundamentals are disconnected from the price. We talk a lot about this as it relates to the high side of things, right? We talk a lot about it, how it relates to the market and a lot of these individual stocks not deserving to trade at the high multiples that they're trading at. But the inverse is also true. You get the same disconnect on the other side of it. And I just think that I continue to believe that that valuation gap has just gotten far too wide. I also think it's just a really bad risk-adjusted bet. Meaning I'm looking at these things going, I know that over time, I can't tell you exactly when, but I know that over time, these things can't hold their multiples, their valuations. No one's going to keep paying that kind of valuation on these things. But then you look at the things we're buying, and considering they're good companies that are growing, we're buying these things at valuations that I think people are going to turn around. And I think the question will be looking back going, what in the world, why in the world weren't we buying those things? And that's a tough part about investing, right? It really is. Making the right decisions in investing, picking the right things, by definition, often feels like you're doing the wrong thing. Right? To buy something really cheap means inherently that you're buying something that is not popular most of the time, 98% of the time. Buying something really cheap means that probably a lot of other people aren't buying it alongside you. It probably means that when you turn on CNBC, you're not going to hear Jim Cramer screaming about it. You know, and the same is true of energy. You guys know the story, right? A perfect analog of this dynamic, you know, was us pounding the table on energy last year. And I don't want to belabor the point because we've discussed this at length, but, you know, all the pundits were saying, no, you can't touch oil stocks, can't touch energy stocks, can't do that. Then all of a sudden, after the things had rallied 80 to 100%, then they're like, okay, here's my favorite oil and gas play. And you're looking at them going, well, wait, hold on, man. It already doubled. And then the tricky part about it, to be humble, you guys, and to be transparent, is that sometimes you buy those things, they don't come back. Sometimes they're cheap because they should be. And that's the trick. That's what makes investing hard. But you reach these, you know, you reach these zenith points where you sit there. We were having a discussion with our analysts this week where we're kind of in a group and we just said, you know, and I'm actually putting out a quarterly update letter to our clients today. Been meaning to get it out all week and it's just been slammed. The other thing, too, is I am negotiating remodel hell. And it's not that bad. Our people are, have made it as good as they can. It's just tough for anybody out there doing a remodel. But anyway, so, and one of the things I'm discussing is that there comes a time in investing where you always have to be cautious. You've always got to be managing your risk. You've always got to be cautious or cognizant of the fact that you could be wrong, and you got to be willing to pivot when the facts on the ground change. There are also times where, at least over the short run, you need to sort of turn your sensor off, that an opportunity is so great over the long term that you got to turn your sensor off to short-term volatility. And that's kind of where a lot of these value plays and natural resource stocks have gotten. I can't tell you what the direction of these things is going to be over the next 3 to 6 months. I think it's higher. I also don't think it's going to be a trade for the faint of heart. I think it's going to be a lot of gut checks along the way. But when I look out over the long run, the valuation spread between these things, the macroeconomic drivers that are present in this economy and in this market right now, I look at it and I'm like, you know, I need to turn a blind eye to what happens today and what happens tomorrow. And I need to be focused on what happens 8 months from now or 18 or 24 months from now. And I really think the odds are that we'll regret continuing to buy the names that everybody wants today. And we will kick ourselves probably for a very long time that we weren't buying these other things. And to me, that is worth the risk of some short-term underperformance. I think right now is where you got to kind of put the blinders on and buy the sensible things and don't get sucked in to the Robin Hood type trades. Because they will blow up. I don't know when. I'm not out shorting this stuff right now, which could mean it's a really great time to do it. I'm not recommending that. We're just all that opportunity. You know, you guys know our value portfolio is up 33, 34% on the year. I think there's a really good opportunity that could be up, you know, 50 to 60 plus by the end of this year. I don't know that. But again, why? Because if it were to go up that much and I look at the underlying stocks and stuff that we own in there, they're still cheap. And they're all doing exactly what we thought. Hanes Brands, that's another one of our long-term holds. All right, we've been talking to you guys about that one. Got into that one at like 12 bucks, something like that. It hit 20 yesterday. Go read the quarter they just had. And then go look at the valuation of that stock. Again, I'm not recommending you buy it. And more importantly, if you look at what the acceleration was, it was exactly the reason that we bought it. It was that Champion line of the clothing that they've purchased. It is really gaining momentum. And they, you know, there's a lot of these opportunities out there. They're just, again, no one's looking in that space. And these things are pretty obvious. You know, that whole Champion thing, you just had to look at the numbers that they were putting up. Yeah, and you also had to open your eyes. You know, Champion was a big brand when I was a kid, and it just went dormant. It disappeared. They came out with some really good clothes, some great workout clothes that are very sensibly priced, and they started getting cool again. I started watching the athlete kids around our neighborhood starting to show up in Champion socks and Champion slides and Champion sweatshirts and going, oh, Champion's coming back in. And I talked to him. Oh, you guys like Champion? Oh, yeah, I love this stuff, man. This is really cool. There's all kinds of opportunities out there. It's just not the ones people are talking about. So anyway, got to take a quick break. We're going to come back for a little synopsis and do a little wrap up and make sure that we hit on any of the things we missed. So stick with us. And as always, guys, if you're tired of just sitting in a mutual fund and paying way too much in fees, if you're tired of watching a market that drops 36% in 5 weeks and you pull up your portfolio only to realize you're down that much too because nobody took any evasive action and nobody's at the helm, and you're tired of and you think that this is a crazy environment, and you're tired of your advisor telling you all the time, you just got to ride it out. If we are just going to ride it out, I can do that on my own without paying you 1.5% a year. I can do that. It's the same ride. I just pay less. If that no longer works for you, if you want to know somebody's at the helm looking for these lower risk, higher output opportunities that's going to lower your fees and manage your risk and make sure you don't get blown up and change tactics when the storm clouds start gathering, if that interests you, which I think it should, call us. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Find out about our bond bond alternative strategy, right? Our bond replacement strategy that's been averaging 5 to 6% a year, has no fees, and is insured against loss. Find about the real estate fund we use that has a fraction of the volatility of the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index and is paying over 2 times more in interest, right? Because it's not just the stock side. It's the other parts of the portfolio where we're way less exposed to risk. We're making more money when markets go up, and we got a net underneath us when they collapse. It's a better way to do it. Call us. Take the 3 minutes to invest in your financial future and call us at 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. And guys, we don't twist arms. There isn't a tricky sales process. Our practices, our process, and our results speak for themselves. Just educate yourself on it. We give you all the information, give you a portfolio proposal, and tell you this is how we'd have you set up. This is what it'll cost. Let us know if you want to do it and wish you all the best. That's it. So call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, July 22nd, right after my show. Zach, I'm excited to be there.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, July 22nd, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at KnowYourRiskRadio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at KnowYourRiskRadio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you guys for sticking with us. Okay, so last segment here. One of the other things that we wanted to visit and discuss on a macroeconomic level was the job information that came out today. Again, it looks like there are job gains. Usually, I am going to opt at looking at and taking into consideration the real data, right? The actual numbers. This situation is in the current environment. Yeah, to say that this is different than normal, right? We talk about the most obvious statement of the year. But in this situation, I kind of find anecdotal information more valuable. And let me explain why. I think that the official job numbers are going to show incredible amounts of noise in them as, you know, companies reopen, where even like furloughed employees that weren't really unemployed are brought back on, right? There's so many one-offs going on that I think it's really hard to know where you're at in terms of the job situation. So in that light, I think looking at job openings and talking to business owners about how hard it is to get people working in that range of $15 to $20 an hour. All the people I talk to, and we have several clients that own very large private businesses. One of our clients, love them to death, they own several restaurants in this area. And I spoke to them just 2 days ago, and they said that the issue surrounding jobs and getting people to come to work is worse than it was 3 months ago. So, you know, until I start seeing that narrative change, I'm going to assume that good numbers, bad numbers, that it's all just kind of noise. You know, there's like, again, there's so many one-offs. There's so many things that are happening or are occurring that otherwise wouldn't and are completely unique to this situation, right? Unique to this COVID experience. And I just, like I said, it's kind of one of those rare moments where I think it's kind of better to listen to the anecdotal information, to listen to the business owners, right? Listen to the guy that is advertising $17.50 an hour with a $600 signing bonus and the fact that they can't get 18 to 20-year-olds to show up for those jobs. Right? I mean, I think that tells you all you need to know. And truthfully, that issue to me is a direct reflection of government intervention. So it's really not a question of the health of the economy. Rather, I think it's a question of what the handouts are, right? What the stimulus practices are at the time, right? How that's where we're at. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, because I think there will probably be a lot of other economic anomalies that are rolling down the way that are going to cause them to print again or issue another stimulus or, God forbid, another lockdown. And going back to our lockdown discussion, I think that this is yet another reason why they won't follow through with a complete lockdown. Again, I could be wrong. I don't have my crystal balls as cloudy as everybody else's. But if you lock down again, you got to do more stimulus, right? And then the permanent damage done to these small businesses and employers will be even worse than the first one, right? It'll be a compounding effect. Probably have to do another PPE. Was it PPP? PPP loan? PPE was the equipment. That's right. It's the acronyms, the age of an acronyms. Anyway, so I think it's the anecdotal. I think it's the job openings number that I think almost means more than the non-farm payrolls, which is the NFP job report that came out today. And like I said, I'll try to echo what I was saying a year ago. I think that we're a year and a half out from really knowing what the state of the economy is. And I think that is still very much the case. And I don't really think we're going to know until we have full reopening and we get back to business as usual. And to do that, the government's got to quit the stimulus thing because people just don't have an incentive and you don't even really blame them. I mean, it's not what I'd have my kids doing and it's not what I'd advise young people to do. And it's not what I've advised other young people in my family to do, but I get why, you're getting money for free. You're getting paid more to sit there and play video games than you are working. So why wouldn't you want to do that? Anyway, guys, we got to cut it off right there. We actually got through everything. So I don't think there's any need for an after hour segment this week. All the big after hours things that we discussed, we're going to cover in the two interviews coming up next week. As always, guys, if you want active management, if you need risk management, which you do, if you want less risk, more upside, and way more security, call us 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com or capitalmanagement.com. Follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. We got to run. See you next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.